Com.
Don't they? It doesn't matter if you have a crown on your head. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That would be the cries, or what we think would the cries would sound like, of baby George. Yes, it's true. There's a name now for this young lad who is third in line to the throne, and it is George. Not a surprise, because it seemed as though George was going to be the name, since that was the name of the Queen Mum's father, and this was the name that was really bandied about a lot and seemed a logical choice, because when you are a member of the royal monarchy, there are only certain names that you can choose. If it's in the book, it's okay. I got the book. 987 royal names, and they all are pretty much the same. They just rotate them again and again and again. So there you go. George Alexander Lewis, the son of Catherine and Prince William, will be known as His Royal Highness Prince George of Cambridge. That's such a long title. That means somebody has to announce him. Like, you think when he goes to kindergarten? The arrival of His Royal Highness Prince George of Cambridge on his first day upon the school. So, I don't know. Just being silly. And this whole royal thing, I know. People like Izzy are going to pummel me for that. It's all kind of crazy, isn't it? Very People Magazine-ish. And I say on this show, we need some levity. I say it all the time. We need some lighter fare. So there's your lighter fare. Coming up this hour, we have a daily salute that you are going to love, love, love. And in fact, it has to do with one of my favorite presidents. That's just a hint. But that's the daily salute. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. It's terrific. It's very inspiring, this story. So that's why the daily salute goes the way of the former prez. Also coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we're going to listen to what the president had to say. We're going to talk to the president. We're going to listen to what the current president had to say a couple of days ago, actually heading into the weekend, about George Zimmerman. Because now on the Hill, Nancy Pelosi is pushing for a date, and it looks like it's going to be next week, on race. They're going to discuss it on the Hill. They're going to talk about, and this is all as a result of the Trayvon Martin murder and George Zimmerman being acquitted. And this is where we're going to, get some insight into where we are in this country when it comes to race relations, because the push is on to have that happen, to make that happen by next week. They're trying to get it on the books, in other words. So it's going to happen. What comes out of that, though? I mean, how is that a discussion that changes something really in your life or my life? Does it mean that people are going to say, oh, yeah, well, geez, you heard what they said today on the Hill. This is how we're going to solve this problem. And if we think there are big problems in certain areas of the country, this is how we can avoid these disasters and just forget that some of this exists. So once we kind of hash it all out, then we'll pass it on to the little people, and then they can decide what to do with it. So, in other words, you can tell by my sarcasm, I think it's kind of ridiculous. I don't know that anything positive comes out of that, saying that, okay, to have conversation is always good to have conversation about whatever the issues are. But will this make other people want to have a bigger discussion? Will it change a way of life for, you know, people across America? I'm going to say, not so much. I don't think so. Not so much. Speaking of changing the way we live in America, the whole dumpster diving for data, the metadata, you know, that whole, what I keep saying is like a warehouse. I just picture this giant warehouse with just information in it. Of course, it's not, it's a mind information thing, but, you know, hear me out. It's like it's in a warehouse storage bin. And the way the story goes is, okay, so if my number's in there and your number's in there and all of America Tonight's numbers are in there, then ultimately what happens after 5 years is it all gets dumped. So we don't have to worry, right? It gets dumped. And since we're not terrorists, it's okay because we're not going to appear on any kind of a watch list or any of that kind of stuff. And we're supposed to trust in this. I think they don't realize that we have no trust right now in our government. The polls keep showing 10 or less. There was a Fox poll that came out, and it was in single digits. That's what we think. I mean, this is our summer of massive discontent. It is a summer of scandals and committee hearings and, so it's terrible. So you could chalk it up to people are never 100% happy with the way things are going in the country, right? Are we ever 100% happy? No. But there are a couple of reasons why the president's job approval is below 50%. And this is why he's on tour to try to turn that around. Just 25% of independents approve of the job the president is doing. That's down from 31% last month. Independents were essential to the Obama 2008 win when 52% backed him. That support dropped to 45% in the 2012 election, and it keeps going lower, lower, lower. 46% rather, of voters approve of Obama's job performance. 47 disapprove. So this is partially because of the IRS targeting conservative groups, the NSA spying on Americans, the Justice Department monitoring journalists, the Associated Press. And I think every time something new bubbles up, it just gets added to the pile as to another reason why there is this disconnect now at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But this is second term, and you wonder, with the job rating a little bit underwater, how much how much of this tour the president is going to continue to roll out, thinking, okay, let's change the narrative, let's talk about other things, let's figure out a way to unite people, which is why at the tail end of the show I'm going to let you hear some of the specifics of what he said about the Trayvon Martin case when he said, I'm not taking any questions, I'm coming out, I want to talk about what happened, because he's saying Trayvon Martin and then talked about, you know, Zimmerman ultimately, especially since on the Hill there's going to be this hearing on race. And who testifies? I would only imagine that it's all going to center around that case still in Florida and maybe a few other people added on to the list, because they haven't said who's coming to testify and where that conversation is going to be headed. Stay with us now, because we're headed in an interesting direction on America Tonight, along with our daily salute, a few other surprises in between.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cook pot. All in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
President Bush won. Bravo to you, sir. Not a surprise. I had a few brushes of fame with the former president. Seemed like a really nice guy. And I'll tell you what, there was some serious Democrats that loved Bush. I'm not kidding you. Really liked him. Really had some respect for him, even if their ideals were completely different. But this has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with helping a kid. This has to do with helping a child who's wrestling with a really terrible disease. And what would that terrible disease be? The one that we all hate, that's truly the devil. It's cancer, right? So George H.W. Bush shaved his head for a kid with cancer. He's in his wheelchair, and the Solidarity Show was with Patrick, the son of a member of his security detail. And in the movies, it's always portrayed that a lot of times you don't have a relationship, and this, of course, is movies, they don't have a relationship with the people who guard them or, you know, would take the bullet for them. In this case, Bush really had a relationship with him and really felt for the father dealing with, you know, a son, a young son, having cancer. And, you know, you just got to say, this is a classy thing to do, because, you know, that's, to me, he's going above and beyond to do the head shaving thing. You know, we all have our vanity, and he had hair. So it wasn't like he didn't have any hair, and he was all completely gray and losing his hair, which still wouldn't have mattered, except for that he did have full head of hair, and that he was willing to do it and really made the kid feel good. There is something about doing that. There is something about, you know, when a kid is when a kid or a person, whoever, is wrestling with cancer, shaving your head and doing what they're doing. So bravo to the Prez for helping out young Patrick. Yeah. I love that applause. That applause is a beautiful thing. Woohoo! Yeah, the son, too, I should say this, is 2 years old, so just a really young, young lad, and good for him. You know, just, I love it. And the reason the story even came out is it was tweeted out, and they should have tweeted it out. I'm glad they did. You know, sometimes Twitter isn't all about packages of a different sort, Anthony Weiner, to whoever. In this case, this was a really great, great story. And, you know, again, to make this little boy feel like he was normal. And bravo. All right, there is no normal in Washington. We know that. And on America Tonight, we talk about a lot of different things. Because you realize that I learned through some information gathering, one from the BBC and from some other sources to verify it, because can we really trust the Brits, that your attention span and my attention span is, are you ready for this? 8 seconds. Do you think you have an 8-second attention span? Does that seem awfully short? That means if you're out there and you're in sales, and isn't everybody in sales in some way, you better close that deal fast. You better get them interested quickly, because otherwise you will just, my friends, drag on and on and on. There's just no way you're going to close deals if people don't have, you know, if they have the attention span of an app. So keep that in mind. 8 seconds. Get it out in 8 seconds, and you have a much better chance of climbing the ladder, closing the deal, doing it, getting the job, whatever it is that you're trying to do. Speaking of closing the deal, an interesting thing, the House rejected an effort, a big push to curb NSA phone surveillance. Everybody took a big deep breath when Ed Snowden, the high school dropout who worked his way into, in a very big way, into U.S. intelligence as a defense contractor, leaked information about how much of your information of mine was actually being culled and put together. So the House on Wednesday, by a narrow margin, defeated a proposal to sharply restrict the National Security Agency's phone surveillance program. The White House backs it up. The White House and Speaker John Boehner, by the way, who are unlikely allies these days, decided that they joined forces to reject the limited offer as an amendment to a defense spending bill. That is part of the deal here, I think, because it was tied to something else. The breakdown of the tally showed 134 Republicans voting, with 83 Democrats rejecting the measure offered by an odd couple, to say the least, from Michigan, that included Republican Congressman Justin Amash and 25-year term Democratic Congressman John Conyers from Michigan. So they are unlikely bedfellows in this one. 94 Republicans and 111 Democrats supported it. So does this end up back in, or do we see this forever go away? And the answer is, you know, will it be renewed when it expires in 2015? Maybe, and the question is on how will it be, you know, how will it be renewed? Because there's not a lot of support for it the way it stands right now. But who knows what happens in 2015. 2015. My goodness, it is so hard to think about 2015, isn't it? Oh, I'm still getting used to 2013. I have to remind myself about 2013. Since I don't write a lot of checks, I think if you write a lot of checks, you remember things easier. When you don't write checks, you don't write a lot of checks, it's easy to forget. Oh, that's right. 6 months ago, we flipped into another year. We did. Absolutely. All right, you're going to flip out. When you see the price of gas and you pull up at the pumps, how infuriating is that to so many of you? I would be one of those people. I would say that I'm not happy with what I'm paying for, as a general rule, for gas. So the EPA is preparing a 2013 mandate under the renewable fuel standard, and energy prices are going to go up across the board. The RFS applies to a couple of things: conventional ethanol and experimental biofuels that include biodiesel and other forms of biofuel, and a cross-section of industry leaders and free market advocates and whatnot are calling for it to be repealed because the regulations are linked to higher energy prices and other costs for consumers. The battle will not be easy. There are people with deep pockets who don't want to see it go in that direction. One of the people that we're going to be talking about or talking to is Dan Kish. And Dan is with the Institute for Energy Research. He's a senior VP of policy, and he goes deep on renewables and how this, in some cases, for some of you maybe just hearing this, went on underneath your nose. Went on underneath your nose. Because they had a couple of hearings on the Hill on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they're trying, the Institute for Energy Research is trying to figure out what next. What are some of the things that we need to work on? How do we need to step aside and step off of this one huge problem that is causing us pain at the pumps? You're gonna love Dan Kish. He is mega information, very easy to talk to, and he's next on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. After more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Tonight we talked a lot about things related to green, things related to ethanol, and we can separate them all in different baskets. But let's stick for now with the ethanol mandate. We went through this maybe a month ago, and we were talking about the renewable fuel standard and how RFS slips under the radar of most people. But actually, Congress just started a couple of days of hearings. They started it on Tuesday on the RFS. And they're talking, you know, it's kind of like a who's who list, if you will, from industries across the board who are going to testify. What we want to talk about now is, what does the renewable fuel standard mean? Why you should care about it? And who better to toss it around with us than Dan Kish? He is the IER Senior VP of Policy, so the Institute for Energy Research. Dan, thanks again for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you.
Explain this in layman's terms. I mean, I think people are smart, and I think they get RFS, but maybe some people don't really understand. You know, they pull up at the pump, the ethanol's not a big deal in their backyard, or they think it's not a big deal. Explain what it is and why we should pay attention to this.
Well, it started out as the idea was, we can't be dependent on these foreign sources from places that don't like us for our oil, and we haven't got enough of our own oil. Therefore, let's do what we do best in the United States. We're a great farming nation. We raise huge amounts of crops. Let's try using some of our homegrown fuel. It's renewable. It grows every year. and let's try putting that in our fuel. And we've done that for quite a number of years, but in the fairly recent past, most notably 2007, Congress took the number from about 5 billion gallons a year, which is a small percentage of the total amount of gallons that we use, and jacked it up to 36 billion gallons, a sevenfold increase. And we're at about 14 billion gallons a year now. So it's rapidly increased, and the problem is it's beginning to be more than 10% of the amount of gasoline that we use, and it's having a pretty significant effect on the price of corn. That's good for corn farmers, bad for everyone who uses corn, including farmers and people who raise livestock and anyone who consumes it. And since the United States is such a huge force in the corn markets worldwide, it affects the price worldwide. And what's happening now is we've begun, our economy's bad, we're not using as much gasoline, and the amount that the government said has to go into the fuel supply each year, and it's an increasing amount, is now outstripping the ability of it to be safely used in vehicles. And there are a bunch of other machinations as well with regard to credits. If you can't buy it because you're not close to someone who has ethanol, you can buy pieces of paper from the government, in essence, that somebody else will trade. But the price of them has gone up 1,400% this year because of this problem. And it's beginning to show up at the gas pump. I think everybody's watching gas go up. This is one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. And within a couple of years, if something doesn't get adjusted, we will be putting all the corn ethanol that we can in our gas, and the type of ethanol that they wanted to be able to be put into gasoline to get up to that 36 billion gallons doesn't even exist, Kate. It's something called cellulosic ethanol. It no one's making it. They're trying because it would be very lucrative to be able to do it, but they haven't cracked a nut. And yet the law says, starting in a couple of years, the rest of all that 36 billion gallons, 21 billion gallons, more than all the ethanol that we use today, has to come from this source that doesn't exist. So people are beginning to look at it and say, something's wrong here. This is not working as we plan.
Yeah, so obviously there's a vested interest in another direction here. How tough will it be to reverse this, do you think?
Well, it's very tough. This is one of the reasons, to be honest with you, Kate, those of us who are a little skeptical of government intervention in these things, try to steer clear at the time from doing this, because people go out in good faith and they plow new ground, they build new ethanol plants, they make all the investments necessary to move this around based on the fact that the government has dictated something, and then circumstances turns out the government was wrong, and then they have to back out of it. And you know, we would have had organic, and by that I mean natural growth in the market for ethanol, just as a natural consequence. It wouldn't be as big as it is today, but we would be using ethanol even if the government said you don't have to use ethanol. We just wouldn't be using these forced numbers, and people wouldn't have been compelled to go out and spend as much, risk as much money on this. So it's always very, very, very difficult to pull down a program, even if it's a mistake, because people have made investments. And it's one of the reasons why the government should not dictate these policies. Free citizens in a free market economy ought to be making those decisions, and other people ought to be responding to them by supplying the things they ask for and need.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dan Kish, Institute for Energy Research, Senior VP of Policy. And Dan, I mean, you know this thing backwards and forwards, so what do you see futuristically is a better or I don't know, an easier, and maybe there is no such easy, but an easier road for us to swallow, a better road to go.
Well, you know, it's almost like the Hippocratic Oath at this point. You know, first do no harm, to me, Kate. Right now we've got a situation where everything is beginning to break down at the amount of ethanol that we use today. At the very least, what the government could do, and they have the flexibility to do this, but they've said they're not going to, is stop it in its tracks. Say, okay, the number is no longer going to be some fictitious number we cooked up 6 or 7 years ago about a product that doesn't exist. We made a mistake. Let's acknowledge we made a mistake and stop doing any more damage, and maybe that other source will come along. Ideally, we'd let this go back to its markets. These decisions were also made at a time when the United States was seen as running out of oil. We now will surpass Saudi Arabia as the number one producer of oil by 2017 in 4 years. We are the fastest growing oil producer in the world. And we now know that the United States and North America, if you include Canada and probably Mexico as well, has sufficient oil to supply our needs without having to use our food and without having to get it from places that hate us to last our continent for scores of years, if not centuries, literally 200 years of supply in North America.
Yeah. So this. So we go through these couple of days. Let's say the worst happens. As you mentioned, it's very tough to flip this around. It doesn't get flipped around. When's the next crack at going through this process again, or will it happen in the near future, the next year or two?
Well, the pressure is going to build, Kate, because the problems. The problems are. This isn't a problem of not being able to do it. We can't produce as much as the law says we must produce. It's just not the system cannot bear that, and they were relying on something being invented that hasn't been invented, which ought to make you wonder about too. let's pass a law that says that the weather has to always be sunny. Well, what happens when it rains? Who do you go after? This is the sort of thing that happens, and we have to be on our guard against, because obviously bad decisions are made, commitments are made, financial commitments are made, and the like. But the truth is, the pressure is only going to grow on change. And frankly, the change ought to be made now so that less disruption happens, because if prices truly begin to take off in a way that gets huge numbers, because most people are fairly supportive of the concept of ethanol, they may not know the details, but the idea is one that has some support. If that loses all of its support because the economic disruption because of the law, then there will be a backlash in whatever Congress and the politicians in Washington have to do to straighten it out will be much more severe and much more unfair to people who made good faith commitments based on the fact that they thought the law was going to have this going forward. So by at least slowing things down, maybe putting a hold on it for now, as they could, but apparently won't. The administration, the White House said that they won't. It causes significant problems, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but those prices at the pump aren't coming down.
No, I agree with you. You can feel it and see it, and yeah, everybody's feeling it in their wallet and pocketbooks, etc. So keep an eye on it. This is part of the reason why. Dan Kish, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Kate.
The price of gas keeps on rising.
I Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Introducing the only portable solar generator in the world that uses advanced sun tracking technology. The SunSocket Solar Generator from Aspect Solar, featuring 60-watt rotating solar panels, a built-in 250-watt-hour lightweight lithium iron battery that charges in only 5 hours, multiple output sockets, and more. See it in action at AspectSolar.com or call 877-717-7778. The SunSocket Solar Generator. Stay plugged in.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. You know, I always say that the show is about the buzz in the backyard. Could there be any bigger buzz than what happened in the Trayvon Martin case? Really, George Zimmerman being tried for the murder of Trayvon Martin. The court of public opinion convicted Zimmerman, I think, before he even hit the courtroom, and then now we're seeing that there's lots of conversation near, far, and everywhere in between, and it's kind of a mixed bag at this point. So the president, heading into the weekend, held a little bit of an impromptu press conference and surprised a lot of people by some of the things that he had to say related to the case. I thought we would take a look back and listen to that because of what's now happening across the country. Take a listen.
Well, I want to come out here, first of all, to tell you that Jay is prepared for all your questions and is very much looking forward to the session. Second thing is I want to let you know that Over the next couple of weeks, there's going to obviously be a whole range of issues, immigration, economics, et cetera. We'll try to arrange a fuller press conference to address your questions. The reason I actually wanted to come out today is not to take questions, but to speak to an issue that obviously has gotten a lot of attention over the course of the last week, the issue of the Trayvon Martin ruling. I gave a preliminary statement right after the ruling on Sunday, but watching the debate over the course of the last week, I thought it might be useful for me to expand on my thoughts a little bit. First of all, I want to make sure that once again I send my thoughts and prayers as well as Michelle's to the family of Trayvon Martin, and to remark on the incredible grace and dignity with which they've dealt with the entire situation. I can only imagine what they're going through, and it's remarkable how they've handled it. The second thing I want to say is to reiterate what I said on Sunday, which is there are going to be a lot of arguments about the legal issues in the case. I'll let all the legal analysts and talking heads address those issues. The judge conducted the trial in a professional manner. The prosecution and the defense made their arguments. The juries were properly instructed that in a case such as this, reasonable doubt was relevant, and they rendered a verdict. And once the jury's spoken, that's how our system works. But I did want to just talk a little bit about context and how people have responded to it and how people are feeling. When Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son. Another way of saying that is Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago. And when you think about why, in the African-American community at least, there's a lot of pain around what happened here, I think it's important to recognize that the African-American community is looking at this issue through a set of experiences and a history that that doesn't go away. There are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were shopping in a department store. That includes me. There are very, very few African-American men who haven't had the experience of walking across the street and hearing the locks click on the doors of cars. That happens to me, at least before I was a senator. There are very few African Americans who haven't had the experience of getting on an elevator and a woman clutching her purse nervously and holding her breath until she had a chance to get off. That happens often. And I don't want to exaggerate this, but those sets of experiences inform how the African American community interprets what happened one night in Florida. And it's inescapable for people to bring those experiences to bear. The African American community is also knowledgeable that there is a history of racial disparities in the application of our criminal laws. Everything from the death penalty to enforcement of our drug laws. And that ends up having an impact in terms of how people interpret the case. Now, this isn't to say that the African-American community is naive about the fact that African-American young men are disproportionately involved in the criminal justice system, that they're disproportionately both victims and perpetrators of violence. It's not to make excuses for that fact, although black folks do interpret the reasons for that in a historical context. They understand that some of the violence that takes place in poor black neighborhoods around the country is born out of a very violent past in this country, and that the poverty and dysfunction that we see in those communities can be traced to a very difficult history. And so the fact that sometimes that's unacknowledged adds to the frustration. And the fact that a lot of African-American boys are painted with a broad brush, and the excuse is given, well, there are these statistics out there that show that African-American boys are more violent. Using that as an excuse to then see sons treated differently causes pain. I think the African-American community is also not naive in understanding that statistically, somebody like Trayvon Martin was probably statistically more likely to be shot by a peer than he was by somebody else. So folks understand the challenges that exist for African-American boys. But they get frustrated, I think, if they feel that there's no context for it, and that context is being denied. And that all contributes, I think, to a sense that if a white male teen was involved in the same kind of scenario, that from top to bottom, both the outcome and the aftermath might have been different. Now, the question for me at least, and I think for a lot of folks, is where do we take this? How do we learn some lessons from this and move in a positive direction? I think it's understandable that there have been demonstrations and vigils and protests, and some of that stuff is just going to have to work its way through as long as it remains nonviolent. If I see any violence, then I will remind folks that that dishonors what happened to Trayvon Martin and his family. But beyond protests or vigils, the question is, are there some concrete things that we might be able to do? I know that...
All right, so the president speaking from the White House press briefing room about Trayvon Martin and the verdict of the court. Wow, what a surprise. I think this was, first of all, for the people who were there, but to so many to listen to what he had to say. Now, some of what the president said you can't deny. Okay, he's speaking through his own eyes. But here's the thing. Ultimately, in bringing this up, where do you go from here? I mean, he said it himself. So what's the answer to the question that he's posing? There was no great big solution. And I would also say, what about the other people who have been wronged on the other sides of this? And boy, did that take a subtle jab at George Zimmerman. If you want to get in touch with us, you can through the miracle of the internet, americatonight.net.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition. Nation by serving thousands of worldwide customers with Real People customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.